If you kind of like fitness, then you'll definitely love this podcast. You are listening to the only fitness podcast where you'll hear a lot about fitness and a lot about other ish.
Welcome back to the Only Fitness Podcast, the only podcast talking about fitness anywhere on the internet. There's literally no other podcast that talks about fitness. We're going to keep it raw and real. You're joining me again. It's Alan Yee, the Alan Yee. We got Monica Blanco. What's up, Moni?
What's up, ASAP Moni?
Moni moves. And today, let's say hello to Nick. Nick, introduce yourself. Nick Venus.
What's happening, y'all? My name is Nick Venus, Nick Hartung, aka the best dude out here, fat influencer, fitness influencer, fat boy changing his life. What's good? How we doing?
What is good, man? So, little breakdown or a little brief here, I guess. Me and Nick, we met each other on the set of Jubilee. So we have another episode with the two other people who were also on the show with us. That one was the two personal trainers against versus two fat influencers. So check that episode out if you haven't. But today we're just going to talk to Nick one-on-one. Nick, you stole the show at Jubilee. You know, like every video that's coming out is like, damn, like respect to Nick, what he's saying, what he's doing. But yeah, let's talk about that. I think there's a lot of things. So me and Monica, we're both personal trainers. And so as we've gone into the business, we kind of understand a little bit more, kind of a different thought process that goes on. But yeah, let's get into your fitness journey.
Yeah, man. So what? I've been 300 plus pounds since I was like 14, 15 or something. And you know, just a sedentary lifestyle, you know, the normal fat kid doing his normal fat kid things, eating out your friend's fridge and stuff like that. Just projected towards a really unhealthy lifestyle. And towards about last year, I'd say I was blessed to be around a couple of friends of mine that also went endured a fitness journey similar to mine. Pretty much made a complete body transformation, went from like a 44 inch waist to like a 32 inch waist.
You did fit.
No. My friend did. And, you know, he was one of my best friends growing up, and he was super fat, got super thin, super attractive, feeling better about himself. And, you know, I saw his strides with confidence and his change and his demeanor and everything. And I was like, man, I want that. And he was like, I'll teach you. And so I moved in with him and a couple other roommates that were also very fitness driven. And, you know, we were, you know, just going to the gym as much as possible, as much as COVID would allow. And yeah, it was more like I was leaning on them for guidance. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't really doing it independently. And so about January or February of this year, I made it more independent. So I started going by myself, and, you know, I was going double time, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. And, you know, getting really comfortable with starving, fasting, one meal a day, like all that good stuff. And I saw extreme effects. You know, I was feeling better about myself. I did, you know, there's some big bumps in the road, but I'm a lot healthier mentally and physically than I was like 2-3 years ago. And, you know, it's a forever changing process, man. You know, I'm right in the middle of the shits. I don't know how much I weigh right now, but I'd have to guess. Last time I stepped on a scale, I was like 305, and that was like March, I think, or like March or April, maybe even, yeah, about March. And, you know, just staying on this journey. I mean, like I said at Jubilee, I judge myself based upon my belt loops, you know, and so far I've been about the same belt loop as I was in March or May. So, you know, yeah, I've been getting a little bit too comfortable recently, but we gonna get back at it.
Man, that's great. But keep going with your thought process there. Like, can you talk to us more about, you know, starving yourself? What is that about?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's exactly what you think it is. You know, when I first started starving myself, my body went into shock. So, you know, I was eating a lot of fast food. a lot of junk food. I mean, not necessarily even like fast food, but I was just eating a lot. You know, McDonald's was never off the table. Oh, we want to go to KFC, fuck it. But you know, it was just, I always needed something to eat. So 24 hours a day, bro, I was just like, what can I eat? And I got trauma and shit and used food as a comfort and blah, blah, blah. And it became like sort of a routine for me. And, you know, that was before drugs and alcohol. And, you know, it just became easier. It's easier to go buy a $5 cheeseburger than it is to like get strung out, you know? And I would eat to the point where I would get, you know, I wouldn't like throw up. But, you know, I became known around my friend group that he can eat anything. Oh, he's always eating. Like, I remember when I would go to friends' houses, they would tell me I'm not allowed in the kitchen because damn. I was that guy that would just like eat everything. And yeah, bro. So it became more of a part of my personality. And it wasn't even like I was hungry. It was just like a reflex. And so, you know, through the fasting and the starving, my body went into shock and it's like, what the hell are you doing? And, you know, I was fucking miserable, but you know, I was in this mindset that I'm like, this is like some Bruce Lee, like Arnold Schwarzenegger type shit. I was like, you know, this is training. This is what do they call it? Adapting, I get acclimating to a new way of life. And, you know, I want to see results and I see other people doing it. And they're still alive, you know, once your body adjusts, then we'll, you know, do whatnot. So I looked to my friends for guidance. I saw what they ate, the portions and everything. It really upset me, but I went with it. But I saw the most results from March, April to about July. And that was from me eating every day. I had a routine. I work graveyard. So I would wake up at about 7 p.m. Go to the gym, 7 to 9. I would go to work about 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. I would eat maybe like a Cliff Bar, and that's it, and a protein shake. And at about 11 a.m., I would eat a box of tomato soup with about half a bag of spinach and two slices of bread or so. And that's it every day for months. And, you know, sometimes on off days, I would eat some blueberries with honey and almonds and, you know, little fruit snacks, like actual fruit as a snack or something like that. But, you know, it was, my body hurt, you know, my stomach hurt. Everything was like, it was tough, but over time, you know, my stomach shrunk to the point where I would eat out and I would try to eat normal and I just couldn't. And gum saved my fucking life, bro. Gum is just like, gave me that reflex to chew, you know? And now that I'm in California, bro, you know, I'm out of that routine. My gym is further away. I have more accessibility to a supermarket. And man, it's been tough, especially because like I don't have the same kitchen that I used to. I don't have the same appliances, things like that. So I've sort of had to adjust how I eat and my schedule and stay consistent and things like that. And, you know, I'm not in that routine, but that routine of being able to, you know, look forward to something and, you know, have a working schedule and the gym right there and everything was like really comfortable. And I was totally cool with it, totally okay with it, pushing myself. But yeah, I've been sort of up and down emotionally recently because, you know, when I first came to LA, it was like vacation because, you know, I just kind of forgot about all the worries in the world. I had a little bit of money in my savings. I was eating mochi ice cream at night. And, you know, I got this Korean supermarket. This shit is bomb, bro. Oh my God. And I was eating mochi ice cream and fucking, you know, rice. I was eating a good portion of rice and, you know, fried rice and things like that. And it wasn't until I put my belt on and it was like, yo, man, that belt loop you used to be on, it's a little bit tight today. And I was like, fuck. And that's when like the body dysmorphia and all that shit, I look in the mirror, I'm like, you fat piece of shit, bro. You're like, you're going right back to square one. And so, you know, it's always, it's a checks and balances And, you know, TikTok has definitely helped me stay consistent. There are days I fall off, but, you know, regardless of what I do, as long as, you know, you catch yourself before you completely fall, you know, it's a journey, man. And I'm infinitely healthier than I was years ago, mentally and physically. So, you know, as long as I keep making those choices and the consistency, you know, regardless whether I have a night of eating mochi ice creams, it's a journey. So now I've got a routine where every morning, well, like this morning I've had coffee. That's it. I've had nothing else. It's about 10. I've been up since about 7. I'll probably eat a Clif Bar at about noon. And maybe I'll bring a mango to work, and then I'll end my day with either like 12 dumplings. I got like these like frozen soy dumplings. Or a sandwich. So I got some whole wheat bread. I put unhealthy amount of spinach with low fat mayo, tomatoes, onions, turkey, and cheese. Just a classic sandwich, and that's it. And then gum if ever I get hungry.
Did you play sports in high school?
I did. Yeah. I played football.
Yeah.
I was and wrestling. And wrestling was fucking. Yeah, wrestling was crazy. It's fun time. Good times.
Gotcha. Because like when you describe your, you know, your two ends of the spectrum from going like eating as much as you can in one sitting to, you know, basically starving yourself, it brings up the idea of like this all or nothing mentality, which, you know, I feel like a lot of people who are beginning their fitness journey get into where they think they need to do everything right. And if they get one thing wrong, then it's like back to square one. Like, oh man, like I messed up on what I was going to eat today. Like might as well just, you know, eat a whole box of Oreos. Do you still feel that?
Bro, the worst thing about gyms in general is that most of their income comes from people that sign up
and don't use it.
Show up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I did not want to be that statistic. And so, you know, like, yeah, I'll fall off and, you know, I'll get back to my old ways and stuff, but I'll be damned if, you know, I'm another statistic, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's more of an opposition and like a fuck you to society to show you that like this shit is possible. But, yeah, you know, sports, the all or nothing thing, man, that, yeah, you know, you like, I think my man spoke about it on Jubilee where he said, you know, he had to lose X amount of weight before a fight or something. And, you know, I had to do that shit. I lost every match I ever played in wrestling, every match. And that was mainly because, you know, I was so out of shape. I did it for the social aspect. You know, I didn't really care about winning or losing. And, you know, when I look back on it, I was like, man, like, you know, the coaches used to call me when I was at home and they were like, bro, like, we need you. Like, you're so good. Like, you have so much potential. I was like, ah, fuck you. And I would just like eat more. And, you know, it sucked, but it was like a learning process. So, you know, now it doesn't matter where you are or how old you are. This shit is possible. You can change your life. And, yeah, bro, if you just don't be another statistic, that shit triggers me.
Yeah, those are all really good points. Bringing that up
off topic with that.
Oh no, you're good. One thing that comes to mind was like during the show, you said you basically hated yourself. Does that still ring true?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a journey of self-love, less about the fitness. But you know, like I've been in 2XL since I was an early teen. And you know, I mean, as incel-y and as pitiful as it sounds, you know, I was the kid that, you know, wasn't really, you know, I did go to homecoming when I asked a girl to a date or something, she'd say yes and things like that. But personally myself, I would look at other people with resentment and vilify and be like, damn, like he looks like that and I want what he has. And like, I wasn't able to appreciate what I have. And so what do you do with that? You know, you, you surround yourself by people that are like that. And, you know, you hang out with five, you become the sixth. So, you know, for a long time, I hung out with sedentary people that were just like angry at the world. And then I started hanging out with people that wanted to change their life for the better. And my whole way of thinking changed, where they were making these strides towards their own goals, you know, whatever your purpose is, or, you know, your meaning or whatever, it's all the same. We're all getting better than we were yesterday. So it's less about, you know, looking like a fucking model and more so appreciating yourself and your skin. Personally, you know, I mean, I could care less if I have a six pack, but, you know, if I just keep going to the gym every day and like making these choices every day and like thinking with this mindset that I'm going to be better than I looked yesterday or feel yesterday, I know in a year, 2 years, 3 years, I'm going to like myself more because other people will have seen the work that I put in physically and visibly and be able to appreciate it more.
So I guess then the like consistency and like your journey to self-love isn't really fueled by your own like self-hatred then, right?
Or is it?
I mean, I look in the mirror every day and you know, it's never enough, you know? It's like, that's like my biggest problem is, you know, like perfectionism or whatnot. I'm not able to appreciate small goals or like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not able to smell the flowers. I want to be able to press 100-pound dumbbells like right now. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not doing it, then I'm a fucking piece of shit. So, you know, it tags back to like football and sports in high school. You know, those guys are hard on you because they want to see results and they want to push you to be better than you were. And so, yeah, I ingrain that in myself every day. I'm my own worst enemy so that I can fight what I got and achieve what I want.
So it does seem like it's coming from more of like the hatred spectrum rather than the loving spectrum. Do you feel like you're hard on yourself that way?
Hell yeah. Yeah, and- man. It's like your kids, you know, if your kids do not what they're, if your kids don't do what you want them to, you're going to get hard on them, you know? And you're going to be like, you can't do this. And now you will suffer the consequences of that. Well, for me, it's like a mental consequence. It's like you look in the mirror and you're not seeing what you want because you're not doing what you should.
Do you look at yourself like as if you were a kid? Like, have you created this, you know, external persona where you're like, oh, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Is that what you're using to drive your fitness journey right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've always been the kid that wants to do what people say I can't. Yeah, you know, like. Yeah, the fuck.
And so if you're using hatred for fuel, what are you going to do when, you know, you get tired of hating yourself?
I'll look in the mirror and I'll appreciate all the work I put in. I'll be like, look, you said I couldn't do this. Look at me now.
And
when that point comes, I don't know. It might be some like, it's not going to be like a miracle moment that someone's going to like bow to me or some shit and be like, oh my God, look at how hard you've worked and shit. But I just know one day, like whether it be a shopping experience or a job interview or just someone on the street that's like, man, you look great. Then I'll realize that I've made it, you know?
So I just bring that up because I feel like anyone can brute force their way and, you know, use hatred as motivation if they need to. But there will always come a time where, you know, you get tired of hating yourself and you get tired of brute forcing your way into whatever goal or position. And so I feel like for the people who brute force their way to a certain point, their downfall is a lot bigger, or they do have a downfall. Whereas, you know, if someone does the opposite of brute forcing their way and realizes like each step is progress, they hold on to that progress for longer, or they are able to maintain it when they reach whatever their peak is. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that up and see what your thoughts are on that. Do you feel like you're brute forcing your way into your goal? And then the next question would be like, when you reach it, what are you going to do? Because you said something about like, you'll look yourself in the mirror and be like, oh yeah, I appreciate this now. Well, why can't you start appreciating it now during the process?
Well, it's like, you know, the journey has gotten easier. The self-hate is diminishing. over time. You know, when I first started, you know, I was embarrassed to go to the gym because like I wasn't even able to press the bar, you know, and that shit weighs on your self-conscious and your fucking self-esteem and all of that. And but when I did it personally out of self-love and like, yeah, you're doing the thing, you know, it's like you eat a cookie and you're like, it's okay, you know, it's okay, you'll start tomorrow. It's like, nah, bro, fuck that. Like, you don't earn that. You know, you're slacking off. And I mean, it's probably just how I was raised. You know, I was raised in a strict household of, you know, like, you're not special. Everyone's got these problems. No one's going to give you a handout. No one's going to cheer you on to the end. Like, if you want it, you got to get it. And yeah, so when I'm doing it out of self-love or like, you know, doing it to like, you got this, I'm slower. You know, if I want to take an off day, I make excuses for why it's okay. But if I'm doing it out of self-hate, there's really no room for excuse. It's like, you said you wanted this, so why aren't you doing what you should to get it? And so it's like I said in the video, you know, it's a sense of accountability and it just helps me stay on track. Or if I fall off, check myself. It's like a punch in the mouth every time I decide to act up. And, but yeah, you know, once I get there, once I get to the point where, you know, I feel like it's like once I'm able to do a pull-up or once I'm able to do a set of 12 pull-ups, once I can support my own weight, like, holy shit. Even if I'm not thin, then like I'm able to do a pull-up at like damn near 300 pounds. Like that is something not a lot of people can do. And so, you know, something like that, like I haven't made a fitness post on Instagram other than my weight loss, other than like here and now, because I still feel like the weight I'm pushing in the gym and et cetera is not impressive. And also I still get self-conscious about filming myself in the gym. One, for reason, you know, I don't want other people in my shots and like being like, why are you filming me? But like also because, you know, I still feel like I'm a fat turd, and you know, I'm still a little bit better shaping, but I'm not to the point where, you know, I feel like I can publicly display for everyone, you know, what I do, take notes from what I do to get where I'm at. And so instead, my whole thing is my mental thought, everything. Like, this is what I did today. Like yesterday, it was like, I almost bought fucking, what was it? Wingstop. I was so close. I was so close. I had a DoorDash coupon, $15 off. It was going to be cheaper than if I walked in the door, but I said, no, I was like, I don't earn this. I don't deserve this shit. So I ate like a mango and a banana, and you know, I felt so much better when I woke up in the morning the next day than I know I would have if I had eaten that shit. So yeah,
that's really interesting because like that example there is really good. And there's definitely two different ways to think about it. It's like you were thinking about eating Wingstop and you're like, no, I'm going to hate myself if I get Wingstop. Let me just eat, you know, a mango instead. Whereas what we try to teach, you know, as personal trainers, like this more healthy mindset is that, you know, instead of ordering Wingstop first, what if you had the mango first? If you're still hungry, you get the Wingstop.
Yeah.
Because they both will probably lead to the same end goal where it's like, oh, after having that mango, I'm pretty full. I'm satisfied. I don't actually need the Wingstop. Like I was just craving it and I, you know, fueled my craving pretty easily by eating this mango. So you're coming at it from the other point where it's like, no, I don't want to get Wingstop. Let me just eat whatever I have. Whereas what we try to teach a lot of people is, you know, have that mango first. If you're still hungry, which we know you're probably not going to be as hungry anymore and not want to get it, you've put up another barrier, essentially. You're not going to get the Wingstop. Do you ever?
Well, also, it was like finances are a huge portion of this journey for me. So, mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. You know, the way you shop, how you shop, what you're eating. Delivering food is just another example of you being lazy. You know, the fact that you're not able to, you're willing to pay an extra $5 to $10 to sit at home and have a meal delivered to you versus, you know, the mental journey of getting comfortable shopping for vegetables, shopping for fruit, even shopping for like meat and shit, and like cooking something that's high calorie, high fat, high dense, whatever. All coincides with a journey of less sedentary. So, you know, the small choices lead up to a different person. And so, you know, just like I've always been an at-home shopper sort of dude, and it's just how I shop, what I'm eating, et cetera, et cetera. And so for me to make that choice to kind of get lazy and pay extra money that I really shouldn't be spending to eat something that's less healthy than fruits and vegetables was just like a moment of like a loss of self, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's also like, you know, what you value. Cause if you value like, you know, your time on the couch or whatever, you're going to pay extra money for that food to be delivered. Whereas for you, you're like, you know, I value a lifestyle or your lifestyle that you're trying to change. Where like, if you need something, you'll actually go out and get it. So if people are willing to pay for that delivery, then fine. But, that was an interesting way to put things. And you said when you were talking yourself through like that Wingstop order, like I didn't earn this. What do you mean by I didn't earn this?
Well, like I, you know, like I said, since I moved to LA, you know, I'm not in the same regiment that I had back in Seattle. I've been here for like 8 weeks, I think. I'm fresh, but you know, my gym's a little bit further away. I got to change the way I shop. You know, it felt like vacation the first time I came here. I came with a little bit of a savings, no job, and I was just cool, bro. I was chilling, and I started to kind of fall off of my regiment, and I noticed it when I went into the gym. You know, I wasn't able to lift the same weight or do the same routine. Now I'm better. I'm killing it. But when I first came here, I started seeing a lack of results from, you know, a moment of stagnation. I don't know, but yeah, bro, I don't feel like I deserve that. Like, absolutely not. No. I mean, I can't. And also I can't just order like a 12 piece, you know. I'm a sucker for deals, and they're always pushing you to get like 30 or 40. And if I get 30 or 40 wings, bro, I'm eating 30 or 40 wings. I don't have the self-control to put half of them away and eat them the next day or some shit. Like, I'll be staring at them 10 feet away and be like, And so, you know, I'd rather just not have that sort of stuff in the house. Like when I ordered the mochi ice creams, you know, there's like six of them in a box. I ate those in 10 minutes, all six, just boom. That's probably not what a normal person does. You know, they'll probably eat two and then go about their day. And you know, that's just the old me coming out. So, you know, I have to restrict myself on how I live, what I'm surrounding myself by. And, you know, it, the whole time I'm thinking like, it's sort of selfish, but it's like, you're doing something a lot of people can't, you know, you're withstanding in front of adversary, you know, when all your friends are ordering food for a night out and shit, and you're able to sit there and chew gum, you know, you got to tell yourself that you're doing something that's harder, that a lot of people can't do. And you should be proud of that. And again, that ties into the whole like adversary, like you can't do it, like self-hate, deprecating sort of shit. It's like you're fighting your ego and you're telling it, you're like, I can do this, like, fuck you. And I'm gonna fight you till the end.
So do you care a lot about like what others think about you?
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't tell people that, you know, I think, you know, doing that makes you look egocentric and sort of an asshole if you're just telling everyone like, this is what I'm doing. Unless they ask, if they ask and they're like, oh, you're not going to eat. And like, no, I'm good. And they're like, and they pry and they say, why? And you tell them, you know, cause I'm trying to eat healthier, because every time you do that, it makes other people feel guilty, and that's not their burden to bear. And so I definitely care what other people think about me. I used to never care about my self-image ever, bro. I wore shirts with holes in it. I wouldn't shower for a couple of days at a time. I would think I look good when I don't. And, you know, now that I've lost a little bit of weight, moved to a new city, you know, I wear clean shirts. I wear cool clothes. I care more about stains and, you know, acne and things like that. I still got a little bit right here, but that all pairs into the self-image thing. And the weight is such a big portion of that because, you know, it's just, you're not as attractive. That I'm sorry. That's just like I personally, my personal preference is like someone with a little bit of thickness to them, but that's just me, you know? And, but personally, for what I want other people to see, I want them to see someone that takes care of themselves. Doesn't matter if, like I said, I have a six pack or not, but it matters if, you know, I got shape, you know, I got to look like someone that shouldn't be fucked with. That's someone that put in time and work. And, you know, cause when I see people that are fit or healthy, I'm not thinking they're just buff, bro. I'm thinking they got like, they got something going on in their mind upstairs. That's, you know, like some Bruce Lee shit, like some Arnold shit. Like they're whole with themselves, or they're at least trying to fill a void, and they're on this journey. You know, there's some, they call them, what are they called in the gym? Like fucking, you know, the dudes that got like nothing going on upstairs except like lift weight type shit. But I don't really look at them. I look at the dudes that are just like soul, and you can see it in their face, bro. And those are people I look up to, and I want to be like them, because when I see them, I'm like, damn, like these people got it figured out. Like I'm attracted to them. Like that's it. And so that's what I want people to see. Yes, I care about self-image. Yes, I care what other people think about me. Yes, I still think that I look like shit. Do I feel like I look better than I did? Absolutely. But I'm not nearly where I want to be.
With those people that you sort of admire, and like kind of desire to be like, what do you think their sort of like mindset is around, you know, fitness and health? Like,
I think it's been in them for a long time. I think it's something that they've mastered. I think it's something they don't think about. I think it's something that's necessary. I think it's something, it's like brushing your teeth. It's like, of course I'm going to go to the gym. What? Like, why wouldn't I, you know? Or, genetics may play a part, but it's also the environment, their story. I don't know. All I know is at a certain point in their life, they made a decision and knew that this was essential for a great and timeless well-being. And so I, you know, it's always the people in like, it's like the dudes that go to the gym before work, like every day. That shit blows my mind. And I really respect that. And so I feel like, you know, it helps them mentally, physically. And yeah, it's above just looks. It's like how they walk, how they talk, everything just glows.
So what if I told you like the mindset is the thing that changes first before anything, you know, for outward appearance? Like those people that you deem as, you know, healthy, not because, you know, they're fit physically, but you can tell by their mindset. What if I told you like their mindset shifted first before they saw any results in their appearance? Because as we talk more, it seems like your mindset is lagging behind, you know, what you want for your own appearance, because it's all coming from this idea of like, you're not good enough. You have to fight against your own ego. You know, you're trying to push yourself to the brink. So what if you just changed your mindset now, and then everything else would fall into place the way it's supposed to?
Well, I'd agree to that, you know. there's regardless of where they are in their journey, they're better than they were yesterday. And you know, like I said, the self-hate for me has depreciated. It's still there and it keeps me in check, punches me in the face every once in a while, but I'm not nearly as sad as I was last year. Holy shit. And I notice it, but it's always going to be there. It's always going to be that overaching bear on my shoulders. And yeah, man, that's something I need like therapy for or some shit. That's a little bit more outside what the gym can solve. But
that's just what a lot of comments on YouTube were saying, you know? So I'm glad you brought that up.
That shit tore me apart, bro. Like,
yo, YouTube comments are hard to read.
Shit, bro. That shit was crazy. My dad called me right after. He's like, how you feeling? I was like, I'm cool. And I was like, a lot of people say I'm projecting. And he's like, you are. And I was like, damn. Okay. But yeah, bro, you know, I was truthful in what I said. I stand behind it. And, you know, in that light of being there, you know, I've been on channels like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on a few Cut videos. I don't know if you're familiar with Cut.
Oh, damn. I love Cut. Which ones?
Yeah. I was on a few for being homeless. Yeah, I was homeless for like a year and a half. I slept in shelters. Wow. I got to talk to kids about it. And there I was more empathetic and I was more like, yeah, I understand. And
because you moved from Seattle, right?
Yeah. And it was a cold winter, bro. Let me tell you.
Damn.
But, you know, it was out of that shit. I got in that situation because of my mindset of opposition, because I was like, fuck you. Like, haha. And then I've reaped what I sow for that. And, you know, I've grown so much since then and shit. Like sometimes I forget that, but on those videos, it was like, Nick's awesome. Nick's the shit. Hell yeah. And then I come on Jubilee and I'm coming with a different mindset. And I said, you know, this dude sucks. But I feel like I was the only person, the one of few that could be overweight against a fat influencer. And, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people about it. And yes, I obviously need therapy. Like I got a lot of shit going on, but
we all do. I think we all need man.
Therapy definitely helps everyone. But, you know, I've seen XQC react to it or Hassan. I don't know if you saw that, but they both watched the videos and, you know, there are 80,000 people that were like, I fuck with Nick. Like, I understand what he's saying. And so it depends on the audience it's put in front of. And like, yeah, bro, I stand behind what I said. And, but I had to play the character. If you see what they cherry picked and what they put in front of their audience was that, you know, they made me out to be like, sort of like sad and more depressed, but I guess that's better than being more hostile and more aggressive. Mm. And like, I didn't yell or fight or anything. Like it was a very cordial conversation, but
I think people wanted us to fight.
Yeah, bro. That's what everybody wants. They love conflict. Yeah. The world loves conflict. That shit's lit. But but it's like the Kardashians, bro. It's a reality TV show. But it's but you know, it was a very sane conversation. But I stand behind what I said, and you know, I don't support someone like when I saw this person on TikTok. That was like, here's what I'm eating as an overweight person that doesn't want to lose weight, that loves what they look like. And I was like, fuck you. I was like, I hate you. Like, how dare you? And then everyone in the comments, like, finally, someone that doesn't want to change. And that was just more all the reason for me to start mine and say, you know, I'm going to change. I was like, I want to be the minority in this argument. Like this is fucked up that we're setting a standard for people so low that you know, they're just becoming complacent. And, you know, both the fat influencers that we had on that video expressed that they are fitness driven, that they, you know, take strides, and that's not a fat influencer to me.
I was gonna say
we just had like a podcast about fitness influencers and how there are so many different, you know, groups within fitness influencer. So I was gonna say with, you know, them, they definitely are more of like the self-acceptance doesn't mean complacency pretty much, but I know the camp that you're sort of referring to as fat.
Absolutely.
Influencers.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen it. You've seen it on social media. This is what I eat in a day where I don't want to lose weight. And I'm like, why would you tell that to thousands of people that, you know, if you're overweight, unhealthy, like fucking like medically unhealthy, that you should not try and better yourself? Like, that just looks dumb. And yeah, so I mean, however you get there, whether it's out of self-love or self-hate, the self-hate works better to me because I'm harder on myself and it keeps me accountable. But bro, yeah, I'm not gonna call anyone a wussy, or I'm not gonna call anyone soft or myself soft, because I'm not hard or soft or anything. I'm just me. And I just don't like how I look, and I want to look better. The only way I know I can get that is if I go to the gym, eat right, and eventually get therapy.
Yeah. Interesting point. Like when we had Jessica and Tyler on the podcast, I brought up like that they probably, if we had different fat influencers on Jubilee, it would have been a different story, just because if they had picked people who are like, you know, very unhealthy, not into fitness, not trying to, you know, make changes to their health, it would have been a different conversation, because then,
oh yeah,
you know, a lot of different things would be brought up. But for them, like they are, you know, into their health or actively trying to improve their health. So when we were talking to them, it was like we were agreeing on a lot of things that I don't think we would have agreed on if it was like, you know, obese, overweight people who are unhealthy, who, you know, just stay at home all day, don't try to actively take care of themselves. It would have been a way different conversation. And then there was something where you brought up about the, you know, the Wingstop and them having deals. So like, why would you get the 12 piece when the 30 piece is, you know, way cheaper per wing after you do the calculations? And so like, when you said that, it kind of tells me like you haven't learned, you know, you haven't learned a lot yet in your fitness journey if you can't make the decision of, you know, between the 12 and the 30 piece. Because what I've learned, and like, you know, what I try to teach people.
Go ahead, bro. Talk your shit, bro. Come on.
Is that, yeah, it's going to be a lifestyle change, and it's going to come with you for a lifetime. So when you said like, you know, when you look at food and you can't, you know, control your urges, is telling me like you didn't learn anything yet. Like you have to be so binary with your thoughts. Like you're one or zero, you're all or nothing. That's why I brought up like, did you play sports in high school? Because a lot of people who played hard sports in high school, they still think like that. And I mean, so you've lived your whole life thinking like that, right? One or zero, all or nothing. And so like, have you actually learned anything yet? Because what I see with a lot of people who still think like that is like, they'll try something for 3 months, 6 months, and they're like, man, like nothing is working, instead of realizing like how much value they've actually added. So it's like, have you actually learned anything on your fitness journey?
Oh yeah. Yeah, man.
Tell us about it.
So I guess, you know, the results I see are the weights I lift. You know, I can curl a 45 pound dumbbell now. I was never able to do that shit. And that shit speaks volume. And the way I shop, what I eat, you know, I was always really big on fruits and vegetables. I was always cooking at home, but shopping outside, you know, is a cop out, or like eating as self-made, or, you know, like Wingstop sort of shit. It's just a cop out, bro. But the most results I've seen, or the growth I've learned, I guess, or yeah, what I've learned is what foods give you energy and what is sustainable to eat. So, you know, like
complex, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Complex versus simple carbs. Like, you know, I'm not trying to be a nutritionist, but it doesn't take like a fucking rocket scientist to tell you that, you know, eating a bag of spinach is more nutritious than a fucking buttermilk biscuit. I mean, depending upon what you're eating it for or whatever. But yeah, bro. I mean, it's one of my best examples of results and shit that I've learned is like when I can't keep up with my friends, when we're walking briskly through the city and I can't keep up. I literally can't. I'm like, yo, slow down. They're like, why are you so slow? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I look at what I've eaten and I'm like, that's why I'm so slow. And then I go on the stair stepper. I eat spinach, granola, motherfucking complex carbs, soup, things like that. All of a sudden I'm able to keep up a little bit better. Like that's something I've learned. And you know, the cravings and shit, the all or nothing. Yes, absolutely. I see it as like a relapse. I see it as like, you know, you've fallen off. But that doesn't mean you can't get back. You know, I got this saying, every day is day one. You know, whether you fuck up or not, the next day, today, is going to be the day you start. And so, you know, you can't use that as an excuse. It's not like tomorrow is day one. Today is day one. And so you keep that energy, you keep that motivation, that hustle, et cetera, et cetera. The mind games you play with yourself, you know, is detrimental to your progress. And so, you know, I keep myself in check. But as far as nutrition goes, what I eat, where I eat, all that definitely plays into what I've learned. Vegetables go far. The sustainability fact of foods, like I know, like, I don't know the science behind it, but, you know, when I was eating really unhealthy, like, oh, I could eat a whole bag of chips, still be hungry type thing. And most foods I eat, whether it be like vegetables or whatnot, aren't very filling, but they're nutritious and vitamins and minerals and all that crap. But I'm still hungry and, you know, my stomach growls and shit, but that's like that. That's like me fighting that beast inside me that wants to like eat bread until I pass out. So I chew gum, and gum is my best fucking friend, bro. I'm probably gonna chew some right now.
With your journey, like so far, as you like kind of go through your little bumps in the road and stuff, have you been enjoying like the process, like any part of the process, just like learning about like maybe what triggers you or obviously seeing your results?
I got hit on by a mom.
Let's go.
Yeah, bro. That shit was crazy. I didn't even notice it until she left. And then like, as I was walking away, I was like, holy shit. I was like, this hasn't happened in a long time. And it wasn't only because of the way I look or like I've dressed better. I look better. You know, I got a little bit of shape, but it was my whole demeanor changed. And like the way I approach women, it was just like more compassionate, more like understanding, not like, I'm sorry to be blunt, but just as like a sex object. I've literally come to like see myself and like not just like just be me. And I love that. And yeah, that was like, that was fucking crazy, bro. I was just talking to her. I like rode the elevator with her. I was like, what's up? And yeah, we just started striking it up. And as I left, I was like, yo, like I totally just got hit on. And I was cool with it. I was like, all right, cool. Like, yeah. And yeah, that was like, yo, I don't know if this is because of the gym or because, you know, like, I've been working out and making these changes. I'm not so full of myself that I think everyone just wants to fuck me. And, but regardless, I just felt like a better person and I just acted like it. And yeah, that was super tight. And, but yeah, other than that, I can walk longer distances. I can, you know, I can jump higher. I see the results in the gym working out. The urges are less. You know, to, I'm able to walk past the candy aisle and not pick up a Snickers bar. And it's routine. It's all routine. It's just like what I do in a day, how I shop. Like, I've gotten so comfortable eating rice cakes, 45 calories per cake. I can eat three of them and just be good, you know? And before, it was just not like that. So, you know, I've just, I haven't bought a box of fruit roll-ups or a box of cereal for that matter, like pre-sweetened, like sort of cereal in so long that it's just like fucking abnormal to me.
Look up Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon's a good cereal. I got a code for
Magic
you.
Magic Spoon?
Yeah. It's a protein cereal, dude. Like,
it's not bad. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But yeah, man, you keep it real on everything. You know, I feel like maybe for yourself also is like self-hatred, maybe might not be the right word, but like, you're just not, you know, like, I feel like we kind of harped on that, but the more we speak, it's not like self-hatred, but it's just, you know, you have a tough time being complacent. And I think those are like, it's a small change in language, but it's a huge change in like mindset shift. Like, when I look at athletes, I don't think they have self-hatred. I don't think they're like, LeBron James hates himself so much that he's going to push himself to try to be the best NBA player he can possibly be. Same thing with Michael Jordan. But it's just like that being complacent with where they're at is not something that they can accept.
Well, those guys love the sport. You know, they love the sport. What can they do to be better at that sport? You know, they work out, they train, they practice. You know, I love not looking like shit. So what can I do to do that? Work out, eat better, you know? Now, how they get there, what's going on in their mind, I don't know. They got the team behind them. I got a team that supports me, 13,000 strong on TikTok.
You,
hell yeah,
bro. I got kids every day hitting me up saying like, yo, bro, you the GOAT. Like, you're the best person on here. Like, I support you. Bro, I got this kid. I think his name is Milo. Bro, if you listen to this, you're amazing. He's lost more weight than I have since I started this journey. And he always hits me up and he's like, bro, you motivated me. And he put me in check. I saw his weight loss. I was like, holy shit. And I walked on the stairs ever twice as long to that day because I was like, yo, like, this kid's beating me. But they keep me in check, man. And you know, it's my motivator. And again, though, as much as I love the support, when someone says you're gonna give up, that is what gets me in the gym. When someone says you suck, or like you're gonna quit, like, that shit drives me to go to the gym because I want to prove them wrong. That might be selfish, but you know, it's just who I am, and that's something I'm working on.
Do you have a question, Monica?
No, sorry.
Oh, my bad.
I saw your like mouth move, so I thought you were gonna say something. Sorry.
Oh no.
I actually will say that a lot of what I talk to with my clients is not necessarily like doing things out of self-love, but more of self-acceptance. Just because, and I always like drive home, like, self-acceptance isn't complacency. Self-acceptance is just like owning who you are and what decisions that you do make. And then self-acceptance doesn't mean giving up on growth or change. So like, coming from that angle and approaching your goals in that way can sometimes like allow you to, okay, like, get through the bumps in the road, the bad days. And it's almost like a foundation of their like fitness journey. no matter what like goals that they do have, just because once you do accept that, then like whatever comes your way, like just kind of becomes a lot more fulfilling. So instead of just like the all or nothing or like self love, self hate, I don't know. I think that's kind of like a good balance of not balance of both, but it can almost be a healthier way to approach your goals.
I will say after training, I've been working out for about a year now, maybe a little bit longer. I've been taking it super serious for the past like 6 months or so. I used to not really know what I was doing in there, you know, in the gym. I was just kind of throwing weights around, mimicking what I see other people do. But now more so than just lifting weights, I'm able to like isolate muscles and like focus in the moment of tearing that shit and like really feeling the effects and, you know, understanding what it feels like to have a good workout. Sometimes I push myself too hard. When I first started, I blacked out one time.
What?
Yeah. That shit hurt. I was doing an incline press and I hadn't eaten anything that day. I was just off like espresso and a pre-workout. And I blacked out, bro. I dropped that weight and I spaced out, seeing stars and shit. And
oh my God.
Yeah. Luckily I didn't hurt myself. I dropped the weights and shit, but you know, it took me like 10, 20 seconds to really come back. And yeah, so I pushed myself too hard at the beginning, but now, like I said, I'm able to kind of I'm not at the point where I'm comfortable wearing stringers. If you guys know that
yeah.
saying, you know,
I'm not even comfortable with it.
It's like a whole like that's a moment where, you know, it's like, I'm that dude. I'm not that dude. I'm not that guy, pal.
And you're not that guy, buddy. You're not that guy, right, pal. But, oh yeah. I mean, I think you were talking about like, you know, understanding, you know, the science approach to it. As I think back towards like my journey and stuff, I was really enthralled and enticed by the science aspect and realizing like, you know, manipulating my macronutrient intake can really have an effect on my body, and like seeing that change was really cool to me. But at the same time, like, it's always like when I look back, is like I didn't realize like how much I had achieved, because I was in the mindset of like not being complacent, but in a more negative sense. But like, you know, during quarantine, when I'd look back at pictures of like when I was lifting weights, I was like, damn, I was huge back then. But I never actually realized like how big I was, or how big I had gotten, or how shredded I looked. So it's like the more as I get into it, the more I, you know, try to shift that mindset, not only for me, but for the people I try to educate, is because like it's not a sustainable way to think, I think, for a lot of people. Like what happens when you restrict yourself so much? Usually, I mean, like what happens when, you know, if we're looking at it from a nutritional standpoint, what happens when you hit your end's wits of restricting yourself, of being like, I'm not going to eat any sugar, any processed foods for the next 30 days? What happens when
you die or you transcend?
But what I'm saying is like, for a lot of people who like try like 30 day challenges of like only drinking water or like no snacks at all for the next 30 days, you know, it's like when they finish that 30 days, did they actually learn anything? No, probably not. What are they going to do after they've restricted themselves so long? They're going to go binge. Probably they're like, oh, like I deserve this. I earned this. I did those 30 days. And so, you know, I think for me and Monica as like educators in our space and as personal trainers, we try to not teach that mentality, and it's because we understand, you know, the repercussions of what's going to happen. Like if you didn't actually learn anything through that whatever challenge you're doing, you're going to go back to your old ways. And so, you know, we see so many fitness influencers who still kind of spout this idea of, you know, you really need to restrict yourself, but it's a very much a language thing. And if we can change the language and say the same thing, it'll change the mindset also. And so, you know, that's kind of like how I try to think of health and fitness and wellness is like, what could you do for the rest of your life that's going to improve you every day, instead of thinking of it as in like these phases of 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, how much can you take away from your life to find improvement, but instead how much can you add to your life to find improvement?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you eat two cheeseburgers, other than if you were eating three cheeseburgers a day, you know, that's a step in the right direction. You cut that shit out completely, you know, your body's gonna freak out and you might have some serious consequences. But you know, I think you're right. It's a balancing act. And I'm just more on the extreme side, you know. And when I say extreme side, I'm talking like a normal person. Like I'm talking like shopping right, eating right, like eating what you should. That's like quote unquote extreme for me, because I'm so used to eating processed food, to eating chicken wings all the time, to ordering shit and facing the consequences, whether financial, mentally, physically, like health wise, and just being like, like it's not fair. It's like, well, you can change that. And, you know, however fast or however long it takes is up to you. Shit. I mean, Buddhists cut out like pretty much all vices, sugar and fucking.
Yeah, but what's the reason Buddhists do it versus like, let's take, you know, a fitness guru on Instagram and why they do it. Let's say fitness guru does it because they're like, oh, fuck your cheeseburger, fuck all of these snacks, because look at how sick I can look. I'm shredded. I'm a sick cunt. That's what they usually say, right? You know, like all that stuff. That's their quotes, not mine. So they're doing it for that reason, which I feel is unhealthy. Whereas, you know, if you look into Buddhism, what's the reason they're doing it for?
It's more of self-discovery, transcend.
Right. It's a spiritual journey. And I don't think people are on that spiritual journey when they're cutting out these foods. They're like, they're not trying to, you know, get into the cycle of Dharma, right? They're not thinking anything about that. They're not thinking about reincarnation. They're not thinking about, you know, how to become a bodhisattva. Like, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking probably what the fitness guru has like taught them to think. Like, look how sick you could be if you cut all this out. Like, people aren't thinking like Buddhists.
Yeah.
And yeah, those are definitely two extremes, right? Yeah. So it's like, yeah, how do we find that middle ground between those two extremes? Because one is, you know, superficial and very much about like how you look. I don't care how you feel. The other one is very much to the other end, where it's like all spiritual. And obviously people don't categorize them into those two, you know, aspects of life. But it seems like with the influx of information and the ability to go viral, people will probably tend towards, you know, what the fitness guru is telling them.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, everybody wants to be the star. Everybody wants to be in the limelight. I did not expect.
I don't want to be in the limelight.
Bullshit.
I mean,
everybody wants to be a rock star, man. Come on. I mean, when I made that first video of like me starving myself and it got like 900,000 views in like fucking 5 days.
Damn.
I did not expect that to go the way it did. I did expect it to have the reaction it did, which was, this is terrible. And I said, yes, I know it's terrible, but I was going for shock value. I mean, shit, bro. Like, it was an opposition. It was an argument. It was a fight. It was a contest. And I've got to say, it's difficult to fucking keep daily content up with that, you know, how I'm doing and everything.
Which is why I said, like, what are you going to do when you stop hating yourself? Like, how can you keep this up? And that's like, I mean, you just said it there. It's like, how can I keep up this daily content? Because there's going to become a breaking point, right? There's going to become a breaking point.
And I mean, I've pretty much plateaued out. I still try and make daily content. I'll miss a day or two here and there, but I've started to get more vulnerable online and, you know, expressing my opinions and thoughts. And, you know, I don't want to be just that fitness guru that's like, you know, hammering on like this is what you could look like type shit. And I want to be, I mean, I just ran out of content. I was like, there's only so many ways I can say I look like shit that's funny until I'm like bored of myself. And so, you know, I started getting personal. And I was like, yeah, man, today's really fucking hard. I was like, I really want to like slack off and do this, but I can't and I won't. And some days I'm like, today I fucked up. And they're like, oh, you know, I told you so. And then I'm like, all right, now I got to, you know, go into double time. And it's a journey, bro. But I mean, I don't follow many fitness gurus. I think I follow you. I follow like five others, I think. And, you know, I'm very select because, you know, like, you know, that dude that comes in shirtless holding a full pizza and he's like, do you want to eat this pizza like all the time and like still lose weight? Like, bro, fuck you.
Like, yeah, I don't like that either.
Of course you don't want to. Of course, everyone wants to do that. But it's like, it's not that simple. You know, it's just not. And regardless of who you are, if you're overweight like myself, there's going to be a huge change. And most people can't keep up with that change. That's why gyms fucking reap benefits of people that don't go after they sign up, because it's just so hard to make that change. And
that's a good point where people can't keep up with that change. And again, I'm coming back to the sustainability aspect, is because I think so many people think that in order to, you know, keep their change or keep consistent with their change, they have to do it in a restrictive way, or, you know, something along those lines, like pushing themselves to the brink, where what I try to really harp on is like, figure out what you could do for, you know, forever, the rest of your life. Yeah, because that's what it's going to be like. That is what fitness, health and wellness, any part of that journey, it's going to be for the rest of your life. But I feel like so many people think about it like, all right, I have 6 months until summer. How can I look as good as possible by summertime? But then, you know, they're not learning anything. So what happens after the summer? They lose it all. And, you know, I used to think like that. I probably still think like that sometimes here and there. But I think going back to what you said is like, with your content and being vulnerable, I think people want to see more of that, because people are tired of being yelled at. Like, there, you can find a fitness influencer or an influencer in general to yell at you, and they can yell at you, but eventually you get tired of being yelled at, right? Whether you're yelling at yourself, whether you're yelling at yourself or a coach is yelling at you or someone on the internet's yelling at you, like, you get tired of that yelling and screaming. But there is a way to, you know, stay consistent and keep what you've, or reap what you've sown, and keep that forever. That doesn't involve all of that yelling.
Well, but like my bro that lost, like, he must have lost like 100 pounds, I think, and he looks like a totally different person. He's able to enjoy the things that I wish I could enjoy. So
there you go.
You know, he's able to eat pizza or, you know, like chicken wings or shit like that, and not really worry about things. But at the same time, you know, he's got this natural like thought process where he's not eating the whole pizza. He's not eating the whole plate of fast food. He's eating like certain X and then putting X in the fridge. And
so he learned something. Did you learn that yet?
No.
And I think that's like one of the biggest like mindset shifts. Like once you do learn it, once you do get there, like,
well, even for anyone, he's, right? He's adapted. And, you know, I look to that for guidance. Mm. I understand I'm weak. I'm soft. I'm a piece of shit. I'm still fat. Okay. And we cannot jeopardize our situation, our growth and our progress, because we've made great strides, and we're really going to throw that all away for a comfy meal on the couch? No, absolutely not. Also, now I don't have a kitchen. I live in a bachelor's unit. So I really got to alternate the way I eat. Mm. Whereas I can't use a stove and, you know, prepackaged foods are a lot more appealing. Sucks.
How much you pay for rent?
I pay a band, bro. $1,000 for this shit.
That's not bad.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood too. That's not bad.
Yeah. But it's fucking wild, bro. I got a hot plate, and you know, every dish I make, everything I cook, I have to do my dishes in my bathroom sink. So yeah, it's a journey, man. And you know, I've really gotta watch how I eat, because you know, everything that's prepackaged, I can just open a wrapper and eat, probably isn't gonna be financially more feasible or like more healthy or like, you know what I mean? And so it's every step of the way is a different journey, a different obstacle. Like now, my big thing is tortilla wraps. You know, I'll buy like cold vegetables, chop them up, throw them in a wrap with some low-cal mayo or some shit. Mm-hmm. I'm good. It's cool. I'm good. And every once in a while, I'll bust out the hot plate and cook like fried rice or dumplings or some shit like that. But
this is kind of on a tangent, but when you mentioned like, you know, microwave foods versus the foods you're cooking.
Oh yeah. I don't own a microwave either. I almost bought one.
Damn.
Imagine. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I was just going to say, this is on a complete tangent. And I need to find more research on it, but I have like some theories. If you were to have a microwave meal, that's let's say, 500 calories versus a meal you cook. Enough. Versus a meal you cook that's 500 calories. The meal that you have to cook and, you know, prepare and go through the motions of cleaning and cutting and adding to a pot or pan and cook all the way through and then, you know, plate yourself. Even though both meals are 500 calories, the one that you have to cook and go through that process is going to make you feel more full than that microwaved meal. And I've noticed this with myself is like, if I microwave a meal, there's no awareness of the food that I'm cooking because I can just take it out the freezer, take it out the fridge, throw it in. And yeah, one is never enough for that one. But if I made that same meal and I went through the process of cooking it, it's going to fill me up a lot more. And I think the science behind there is that, so our digestion starts with our saliva. There are enzymes in our saliva, proteases. They break down
science on it.
Break down the proteins in the foods, and you know, the cellulose fibers and the vegetables. So when you go through the process of cooking your meal,
sorry.
You when you go through the process of cooking your meal, your digestion starts when it realizes like, oh, we're gonna go through and like make a meal. So your saliva, you start to salivate a little bit more. And so because of that, you know, you have your hunger hormones like leptin and ghrelin. So these get, you know, activated or brought down a little bit more. So you want ghrelin to increase. That means you're not hungry, or you want leptin to increase. That means you're satisfied and not hungry, and you want ghrelin to decrease. So when you go through that whole process of having to cook, clean, cut, and then plate all of your food, you given yourself an extra 20 minutes to already be satisfied with the food that you're going to ingest. Whereas when you microwave something, you're only giving yourself 2 minutes, and think about how quickly you can finish that meal, probably within 10 minutes. Whereas when you're cooking, you know, it's a whole 30 minute process. And then if you wash dishes before you eat, you know, adding some time in there. So I just think it's like a really interesting thing. And I want people who are listening at home to try this out, like try a microwave meal, see how satisfied you are before and after, and try cooking that same exact meal and see how satisfied you are before and after. Cause like one tip I give to my clients is like, if they're cooking their own meals, they can eat as much of it as they want, as long as, you know, they're not microwaving like from a package. If they have to reheat it, you know, microwave, that's fine. But you know, what I'm noticing is that when they have to go through the whole process of cooking, they're going to be way more satisfied than, you know, eating out or, for example, microwaving prepackaged foods. So I just wanted to bring that up, the way when you said, you know, you're never satisfied with like one packaged meal, because like a lot of people aren't. And I think it's related to all those things I just said.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sure there's a, sorry.
I don't know nothing about that lepinephrine, whatever, bro, but abso-fucking-lutely. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Monica.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I'm sure there's like that psychological component of it too, where it's like you appreciate how much time and effort it took to prepare that meal with your hands.
Yeah.
All of that prep and stuff. I mean, I know when I bake my ube bread, like I eat it a lot more slowly. I appreciate it. I like smell it. I use all my senses. It's like, oh, it's a freaking experience when I can actually eat the food that I make.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to, now that we're on like research and science and evidence stuff, just because you brought up your friend that, you know, he's able to, or they are able to like eat a piece of pizza and then put the rest back in the fridge. I follow a woman named Casey Joe. She got her PhD in psychology and like mindset. And she had a post that talked about people that blamed their lack of progress on like a lack of willpower or like a lack of self-control. Like you probably see people like, who is it? David Goggins. And you're like, he has so much self-control. I wish I were like him, like blah, blah, blah.
I've had a few people compare me to him and I don't know how I feel about that, cause I'm not a Marine at all, but yeah, power to him.
there was a huge survey out of the University of Chicago where 75% of people attributed their health and fitness failures to a lack of self-control. And then they found that the people that reported to be good, quote unquote, good at exercising self-control also were the ones that experienced less instances of needing to use it. So they found that people who have pro status of self-control are the same people that have built a lifestyle, habits, and social environment with their goals in mind. So like inherently that makes you have to exert self-control less. So it's not really like people don't really have a self-control problem. They just have to exert it a lot, which that often comes with the fad diets, quick fixes, lack of flexibility, severe restriction, eliminating your favorite foods, not adjusting to your environment, and like making it a lot harder to choose healthier options. So it's kind of like going back to like a fixed mindset sort of thing. Like you believe that you lack self-control. And like, usually these are the things that do hold people back of like,
well, I think people get fixated that it's going to be quick, that it's going to be, you know, they're going to see results next month type shit. And someone like David Goggins put his body and his mind through this abnormal, ungodly routine that found results. And I don't know. I think it was like 6 months or some shit. And I knew when I started this journey that it was going to be like a lifestyle change. I knew that like for the rest of my life, I'm going to be adjusting the damage that I've caused for myself. However long it takes for me to get to this point where I'm comfortable and I'm like, I'm cool. Like, I don't know, but you know, it's the lack of self-control is definitely something I battle every day. The way I cook, you know, the prepackaged meals versus this versus cooking. And you know, all of that is hand in hand with my self-control. That is the biggest thing I combat. And that's where the self-deprecation comes in. It's checking myself for my lack of self-control. And so, you know, I can't order a thing of wings and eat a few of them and put the rest away and eat them as a normal person might, because you know, I'm just gluttonous, bro. I'm such a glutton.
Why don't you just order 12 then?
Because I'm going to bust out those 12 in less than 5 minutes and then be back in the fridge for something else.
But that's better than the 30, right?
I mean, financially, no.
Financially, yes. You're still paying more for the 30. Like, it's still going to be
per wing, bro.
Right.
The deals. Right.
But the overall spent is going to be still cheaper for the 12.
Right, yeah, bro.
You spend less and you still eat your wings.
Bro, if you break that shit down, it's like, what I can't even remember, bro, but it's like $14 or something for 12 wings plus delivery plus tip plus service fees. It's like 22 something something. 30 piece is like is like 20 something dollars. And it, bro, it just, I don't know, man. I'm such a sucker for deals, and I'm such a sucker for like on sale, buy now type shit. And I'm a mark for the fucking American capitalism regime, man. I love purchasing things in bulk. Like, I've had people yell at me saying I'm cheap. They won't even hang out with me because I'm cheap. You know, I'll try and order off the kids menu on certain places, bro. So I just can't do that. And so instead of even trying to buy a pizza and eating a few slices, I just don't have the self-control yet in my journey.
There you go. I think the yet is important there.
Yeah.
Because you were saying like, that's more of like the fixed mindset of like, I'm gluttonous, I'm a sucker, like I'm this and that. But then you catch yourself later on and you say yet, which I think is more important to focus on.
Oh yeah. Like I said, it's a lifetime journey. And I've only been doing this for like a year and a half. And I didn't start taking it really seriously until about like the new year, this year. And yeah, bro. I mean, I've got the gym shit down. Like, that shit's fun. I enjoy that now. I used to dwell on it. I hated it. I was like, why am I doing this? Like, now I enjoy the routine. And, you know, the cooking thing, I've always been a fan of cooking. My father ingrained that into me. Like, we rarely went out to eat. We always cooked our meals at home because we were more appreciative and we're able to do what we want and with the things we were given. And so that goes hand in hand. But the self-control of being able to eat out like a normal person, I just can't do that. So
yet.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right, baby. And we always on this journey, man. So yeah. Bro, it's fun, but it's, yeah, it's a way of life.
I'm just gonna end with this, and it's maybe we can end with, you know, this idea, like, people, especially in the US, there's not a weight loss problem. Like, millions of people every year can achieve their weight loss goal, or, you know, some sort of weight loss. What a lot of people have problems with is gaining the weight back. Mm-hmm. And so what that tells a lot of people is that, that's, you know, it is working on like self-control. It is learning lifestyle habits, because a lot of people can lose weight in 6 months to a year, but then they gain it back. For example, you know, people on The Biggest Loser. I think Biggest Loser is probably the most extreme form where, you know, they have people lose weight. You know, lots of those contestants lose weight. What they do after that is they do follow-ups, you know, years after people have been on that show. And on average, participants regained 70% of the weight they had lost.
Holy shit. So
if someone went from 328 pounds and then after being on the 30-week program on The Biggest Loser, they go down to 199. So that's, you know, 130 pounds lost. When they weighed back in 6 years later, they were back to 290. So it's like,
God damn.
It's like, I think The Biggest Loser really shows, you know, the problem that we have with weight loss is not the actual weight loss. It's keeping it off, because people don't learn those things. And, you know, I respect you fully, Nick, and like what you're doing. And I think you're actively working towards those lifestyle changes, which is amazing. But I think people need to realize, like, the lifestyle changes is what's going to keep the weight off. Cause like, anyone can brute force themselves into weight loss. Like, I can get you on the, you know, it's going to be unhealthy, but I can get you on a program right now, 30 days, only water. You're not eating anything for the next 30 days. And I'm going to have you run 100 miles every day. I guarantee you would lose all the weight you ever wanted in those 30 days. But what are you going to do after those 30 days? Or when The Biggest Loser does it, they do, you know, all those challenges. And, you know, I mean, they got in trouble because they were using Adderall for these contestants to, you know, reduce their appetite. Right. Shit. So of course they're going to lose weight in 30 weeks, but look at that. They're gaining their weight back. The participants gain their weight back. So they didn't learn anything those 30 weeks other than how to brute force themselves into reaching their goal. Because after they reach their goal, what are they going to do? They didn't learn anything, you know? So I just wanted to end with that.
Main takeaway is to make sustainability sexy.
Yeah.
a big thing I'd like to end on personally is, you know, this is a journey of self. And like y'all said, you know, sustainability is key, but you know, the more you lean on other people, you know, the less likely you are to be able to keep those habits personally. So, you know, look to others for motivation and influence, but remember that this is for you. And if you That's want right, these changes, yeah. you can get them.
And do it for yourself.
And do it for yourself and nobody else. And, you know, regardless of your journey or where you're at or anything, just keep going. And remember that this is a lifestyle change. This is for life. This ain't like you said, we're going to do this for 6 months and then we're back to where we were. No. You know, we're adapting, we're changing, and we're bettering ourselves than we were yesterday.
This is exactly the reason why I wanted to get you on the podcast, was because I feel like on Jubilee, you know, we had questions with certain prompts, with certain answers. But I think the way you presented yourself today, you know, would change a lot of people's minds about you versus how you were, you know, personified on the show. And I think you kind of leaned into, you know, the villainous aspect, whether they made it the edits like that or whether you were, you know, saying things to, you know, speed up the conversation, spice up the conversation to get to a certain point, a little bit of both. But yeah. I think, you know, the more we talk to you, like the more, you know, we do agree on certain points. I think there are still certain points, you know, we might not agree fully on, but that's why I wanted you on the show, is to, you know, go over and expand on those points. Cause I think when we get down to it, like there is still the same end goal, whether mm-hmm. we're coming from, you know, one side of the spectrum or the other side of the spectrum, it's still trying to find, you know, that end goal, which is what everyone's trying to accomplish. And it's just how we accomplish it. So, you know, respect all your opinions. And like you said, it is for self, no matter which way you're going about it. Like That's you got to right. remember it's for yourself. So.
Yeah. I wanted to say too, like, I really appreciate your like honesty and like just staying true to your belief system and who you are, but still staying open-minded. You know, like Alan and I had some, you know, things to say about some of your practices and stuff, but I really appreciate your willingness to come on and have this conversation with us.
Of Nick, course. Where can people find you?
Oh man. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Nick Venus. That's NIQ Venus.
Nick Venus TikTok. Wave, right? Or just Nick Venus.
Yeah. NIQ. Well, you Google Nick Venus. If you Google that, you'll find me everywhere.
Find everything.
But on Instagram, NickVenus_.wave. That's the team, baby. I appreciate everyone having me on here. And, you know, on TikTok, I'm fans only with a P instead of an O. So that's FANSPNLY. I made that as a joke and it just kind of like, I don't know how to change it. So it's whatever. But yeah, hit me on IG. I got a link tree. So, you know, it's all good. But I appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, man, like I said, you know, stay true to yourself and be better than you were yesterday. Every day is day one, baby.
We love this. We'll do this again in a year and see, yes. you know, if you've changed. Oh my God,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. So thank you, Nick. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us on the Only Fitness Podcast, the only podcast about fitness. Peace out.
Peace, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening to the Only Fitness Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review, share this podcast with a friend or family member, and be sure to follow us on Instagram. Until next time, this has been the Only Fitness Podcast.